Father in heaven, Lord, we thank you for your words, and Father, we thank you that you allow us to come to a place, and there's times where you just prevent it for some reason. I don't know, but it's sometimes maybe, who knows, you're saving us from an accident or whatever it may be, but we're grateful that you allow us to gather together and to hear your words preached and to sing songs about you, and it's a great blessing, Lord, and a lot of times we take it for granted, but we pray that we wouldn't, and that we would just seize every opportunity we can. And Father, now we pray that you would just be with us here today and help us to learn from you and your words, and we pray these things for Christ's sake. Amen. Okay, the last time I was here, we got through that ninth parable, and we saw that nothing had really changed yet with the disciples. Their thought process about wanting to be greatest. We're in Matthew chapter 20, and we left off in, I think, verse 23. And so, but they wanted to be the greatest and in the kingdom of heaven. And if you would, I mean, it was found in Matthew 18. Let me see where we are here. Matthew 18. Let me see where it's at. Yeah, at the same time, verse 1, at the same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? So this is their mindset. Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And that is what is on their minds. It's what is on their minds in Matthew 18. It's what's on these disciples' minds in Matthew 20. And if you would, look in Mark 3, you'll see it again. Mark 9, 34. Mark 9:34. They're on their way to Capernaum, and verse 33, and he came to Capernaum, and being in the house, he asked them, what was it that ye disputed amongst yourself by the way? But they held their peace, for by the way, they had disputed amongst themselves who should be the greatest. And so that's, put them all up, wrap them all up. They're the same peas and they're in the same pot, right? They're thinking the same thing. And not only that, but after Jesus is trying to patiently and with long suffering and mercy and love teach his disciples in meekness, right? And Matthew and looking, if you would, in Luke 22. There they are at the Last Supper. Luke 22, verse 24. And so, there's this ADD stuff again, right? These disciples, Jesus is teaching them over and over and over again. And look at how they're thinking in verse 24. And there was also a strife among them, which of them should be the greatest. And he said unto them, the kings of the Gentiles exercise lordship over them. And so the context in Luke here is the Last Supper. Okay, it's the Last Supper. If you look in verse 19, and he took bread and gave thanks and brake it and gave it unto them, saying, this is my body. Okay, so this, the context here is the Last Supper. In Matthew, the context isn't the Last Supper here. And so it shows you that we just need to keep being taught the same thing over and over again, just like the disciples. And the Lord does that. And he's very patient. He's considered a servant, right, in Mark. And the Bible says a servant of the Lord shall 2 Timothy 2:24. Let's look there. This is Jesus Christ. He's the perfect servant of the Lord, and he shows all these traits. 2 Timothy 2:24. 2:24, and the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle. How is Jesus Christ to his disciples? He's gentle to them. Must be gentle unto all men, apt to teach. Jesus was ready to teach. I mean, he was teaching in the synagogues when he was 12 years old, teaching the Jewish leaders of the day what they were supposed to have already known. Apt to teach, patient in meekness, instructing those. What does Jesus Christ say? Come and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly of heart. Right? In meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves. And so the disciples are opposing themselves right now. How many times has Jesus given them the gospel about his death, burial, and resurrection? And they've just rejected it, and they don't believe him. Three times now. And so that's their mindset. Back in Matthew chapter 20, verse 23. Okay, we'll start in verse 22. But Jesus answered and said, ye know not what ye ask. Here's these disciples. They come in, they're asking him to, they're requesting that they would be able to sit on his right hand and on the other, the left hand, in his kingdom. And Jesus says, but Jesus answered and said, ye know not what ye ask. Are ye able to drink of the cup that I shall drink of? And to be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with. They say unto him, we are able. We are able. And he said unto them, ye shall drink indeed of my cup, and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with. But to sit on my right hand and on my left is not mine to give, but it shall be given to them for whom it is prepared of my Father. Now, do you think that if these two disciples and this mother knew that Jesus was going to drink of the Father's cup of wrath on sin, and that Jesus was going to go to hell after he had died, that they would have said, yes, indeed, we are able? You think they would have said that? I don't think they would have. Do you think if they knew that the baptism Jesus was talking about was Jesus dying on the cross, that they would have answered yes? Well, we know that they didn't believe what he said when Jesus said, "Hey, I'm going to die 3 days later. I'm going to be raised from the dead." We know that they didn't believe that, even though Jesus told them three times. How about if they knew that the cup of Jesus, that Jesus was going to drink of, was the cup of suffering? You think they would have said yes? We are able? We are able to do this. Let's see. Go with me, if you would, to Matthew 26, 50-55. Let's see if that's what they would have done, or if that's what they would have said. Matthew 26, 55. In that same hour said Jesus to the multitudes, are ye come out against a thief with swords and staves for to take me? I sat daily with you teaching in the temple, and ye lay no hold on me. But all this was done, that the scriptures of the prophets might be fulfilled. Then all the disciples forsook him and fled. Really? They would have said yes? Yeah, we are able. And here they are. As soon as Jesus is getting caught by the Roman soldiers, they take off running. All of them. And so that shows us that that it's against human nature to want to go to hell. And those that say, we want to go to hell and we want to party the rest of our lives down there, and they don't know what they're talking about. They're just moving their lips. They have no idea what they're saying. And the disciples, they had no idea what they were saying when they said, were saying, we are able. We are able. And so it's against human nature to want to die. And it's against human nature to want to suffer. So I would say that had they known that Jesus was talking about himself suffering, and suffering and dying, and having God's wrath put upon him, put upon sin, that they would have said, we don't want those seats anymore, Jesus. And the mother of those two disciples would have probably slapped them upside the head, those two, her two sons, and said, you dummies, what do you think you guys are doing? How'd you even talk me into this stuff, right? And so, that's for just being stupid. You ever been slapped upside the head for just being stupid? In the back of your head? I have. But they answered correctly. Even though they didn't know how they were answering, and they didn't know what Jesus was talking about, they answered correctly. And Jesus says, hey, you're going to drink of my cup. Look at what he says. He says, my cup. Let's see what it says here. Jesus answered, verse 22, are ye able to drink of that, of the cup that I shall drink of? And when they said, we are able, Jesus says, and he said unto them, ye shall indeed drink of my cup, right? And be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with. And so they answered correctly. And what was Jesus' cup? It was the cup of suffering, the suffering. It was the cup of suffering. There's two cups there. You got the cup of God's wrath on sin, and you got the cup of Jesus' suffering. And so they will indeed drink of his cup of suffering. Hey, look at what happened to the disciples. Didn't they all die gruesome deaths? Didn't they all suffer? Yeah, they suffered. But Jesus' cup is the cup of suffering. When he says my cup, he's talking about that cup of suffering. And so all the disciples, they eventually were baptized into Jesus' death. They were baptized with his baptism. And anybody that gets saved is baptized in Jesus' with his baptism, right? And so that's at the moment of conversion, which shows that God knows who's going to trust in him and who's not going to trust in him. Now, you have to remember that he's talking to two disciples here. He's not talking to all of them. He's talking to two. So Judas is excluded from this. He's talking to James and John here. But God knows who's going to trust in him. And every believer is a partaker with Christ's sufferings and his baptism of death. Look, if you would, in Romans 6. Romans 6, 4. Jesus is very specific when he says, my cup. Romans 6, 4. We'll start in verse 3. Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. And so, there you have it. When Jesus says in verse 23, he says, ye shall drink indeed of my cup. He's talking about his cup of suffering. And be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with. They got saved, folks. They did get saved. And so you can say that, you know, baptism of death, okay, they died. But they also were baptized with the baptism that he was baptized with when they trusted Jesus Christ as their Savior later on at Pentecost, or before Pentecost, and then they got the Holy Ghost at Pentecost. And so, but by being a partaker of this, we as believers, the disciples as believers, they get to escape God's cup of wrath. And that's why Jesus is very specific here, right? He's very specific here. It's my cup. It's not God's cup. Yes. Right. 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 And not only that, but Jesus was already baptized. The disciples were already baptized with water. So this has to be a future baptism. Right? And you're right. There's water is not in there at all. But every believer escapes the cup of God's wrath. Why? Why? Because the wrath of God doesn't abide upon a believer. Doesn't abide upon a believer. John 3:36. The Bible says, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth upon him, or abideth on him. And so when Jesus prays in the garden, right? He's praying, let this cup pass from me. It's not the cup of suffering. It's not the cup of suffering. It would have to be the cup of God's wrath on sin. Why? Because it's against Jesus Christ's nature to become sin. It's against his nature. He can't sin. Yet all of man's sins are placed on him at the cross. And God, he forsakes him at that moment. And so, Jesus Christ, he doesn't want to experience this. And that's why he says, let this cup pass from me. That's why he's praying. And so, the Lord Jesus Christ experiences both cups, the cup of God's wrath on sin and the cup of suffering. And he also experienced the baptism of death. And he experienced both cups. One satisfies the individual. Cup of suffering satisfies the individual. Jesus suffered for all men. And the other cup satisfies God the Father. All right? And in the atonement, in the blood atonement, there is a satisfaction there that allows God to relieve those that believe on him, on Jesus Christ. It allows God to relieve us, believers, of both cups. And do all believers suffer and horrible deaths like the disciples at the hands of others? No. But all go through his baptism, right? At the time of conversion, and we read in Romans. Do all do any believers experience God's wrath on sin? No, we just read. God's wrath on sin abides on those that don't trust in Jesus Christ, that don't believe in Him. And so the blood atonement can relieve a believer of both of these cuffs. James and John, however, they do experience Jesus' cup of suffering at the hands of others. And so do the other disciples, except for Judas. Save Judas. When you say except, you actually include. But we don't see, folks, we don't see what it costs. We don't see what it costs a person to be mightily used of God. Right? Except when you read it in the Bible. But to be mightily used of God in this world, if a person ever gets to that point where God is mightily using him, then the devil may get some room when it comes to you or to that person. He may get some room to act in his life. Look at Job. God gave him room. God gave him room. Why? Because this is the devil's domain down here. It's the devil's world right now. He's the god of this world. And the god of this world doesn't like it when you have a bunch of disciples turning the world upside down, pointing to Jesus Christ. The devil doesn't like that. And those disciples were mightily used of God to turn the world upside down, to preach the gospel. And when that happens, the devil wants to put a stop to it. And he wants to put a stop to it just as he wanted to put a stop to Jesus. If Jesus didn't die on the cross, all men would have believed on him. That's what the Bible says. All men would have believed on him. And the devil doesn't want that. It's not Jesus' time yet. That's why the disciples experienced Jesus' cup of suffering. Why? Because it's an example to all those that want to preach the gospel that, hey, if you ever get to the point where these disciples were, this is what's going to happen to you. And so that's why they experienced Jesus Christ's suffering, cup of suffering. And that's why they were baptized with the baptism of death. Because they trusted in him. Verse 24. And when the 10 heard it, they were moved with indignation against the two brethren. Whenever somebody thinks that they're better than others, and it's made manifest by their own words, and that's what these disciples made manifest in front of the others, right? That they wanted to be lords. They wanted to rule over the other disciples. But whenever that happens, people are going to be disgusted in you. And I don't care if they're your best friends. If you start lifting yourself up in front of other people, they're going to not like you. But where is the compassion here from the other disciples? If the other disciples believed in what Jesus was talking about, if they knew about these cups that Jesus was talking about, the cup of Jesus' cup and the baptism that he was going to be baptized with, where is the other disciples' compassion? If they knew that these other disciples, these two that wanted to be greatest, were going to die like Jesus and suffer, where is their compassion? And that shows you none of the disciples knew what Jesus was talking about here. None of them knew. Not only did James and John and their mother not know, but neither did the other ten. And so we have to realize that it's not about us being more qualified. It's not about us having more schooling. It's not about us thinking that we should be in a rulership position. It's not. It's about Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ is getting ready to show the mindset of these two disciples in the next few verses. And he's going to show what our mindset should be. Right? Verse number 25. But Jesus called them unto him and said, ye know that the princes of the Gentiles exercise dominion over them, and they that are great exercise authority upon them. Hey, they have to know this, right? The disciples have to know this. They're under bondage. They're under the bondage of Rome. And so they see this all the time. They see this with the laws. They see this as they're paying their taxes and their tributes to Caesar. And it's all done at the end of the sword. Right? What was that, Karl Marx? He wrote that book about how this world is by violence. It's run by violence. And it hasn't changed. It hasn't changed since the time of the disciples and Jesus was here till now. Don't pay your taxes and see what happens. Break the law, even the ones you don't know about. And I guarantee you, they'll tow your car. see what happens. Go against governments and see what happens. Those that are in leadership positions in this world are lords over those that are under them. And those that are great give those that are in these leadership positions authority. Verse number 25, and they that are great exercise authority upon them. And so they give authority to these to enforce their will under those that are under them. If you don't believe me, if you don't believe the Bible, try not stopping for a police officer when he turns his lights on and he's right behind you. Try not stopping. They will stop your car one way or the other. All right? And they will either kill you when they stop that car, or they'll tase you with as many shots of tase that they have on their belts. And they'll handcuff you, and if you're not on your deathbed, you will be behind bars, and you will be going to see the judge at an arraignment trial. All that because you went 5 miles over the speed limit, and you didn't want to stop for the police officer. All right? They have guns, and they will use them. No matter how small the offense, give them a chance, and they will use them. Verse 26, but it shall not be so among you. But whosoever will be great among you, let him be your minister. Let him be your minister. All the disciples, they had the same power. And all that power that they had came from Jesus. They all had power to heal. They all had power to cast out devils. They were all given the Holy Spirit at Pentecost, except for Judas, of course. And so what is this lesson about that Jesus is teaching the disciples? What is it about? It's about one brother desiring to lord over another brother. That's what it's about. That's what it's about. And Jesus says, it shall not be so among you. And yet, all over this country, right, in Baptist churches, you have Baptist preachers wanting to lord over God's flock. So much for what Jesus has to say in His Word, right? So much for the King James Bible and the words of God. But that's what this disciple's attitude was. As we saw, it still is at the Lord's Supper in Luke 22:24. And so you see that by people's actions in churches, in Baptist churches, right? You see that it doesn't really matter what the Bible says. It doesn't really matter if you don't believe it and you don't apply it. Do people ever ask themselves why they want to be in a position of evangelism? Do people ask themselves why they want to be a teacher? Why they want to be a preacher? Look, if you would, in Ephesians 4, 4:11, and we're almost done. The Bible says, and He gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. Why? For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. And so here in this church, we all should know these things, and this is nothing new here that's being taught. But as it's brought up in the Scripture, we teach it. Why? To help others. What about those that are visiting? What about those that never heard these things before? Ministers are not supposed to come to church to minister. I'm sorry. They're not supposed to come to church to be ministers. Right? They're supposed to come to church to minister. And so, you know what Saul used his ministry for? He used it to get ministered unto. And David, he used his ministry to minister unto others. Verse 27, and whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant. Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give his life a ransom for many. And so when we finally figure out that we've all been given the same commission, this is how we're supposed to be. We're supposed to use the power that Jesus gave us to lift up others instead of making them lift us up. That's how it's supposed to be done. And then Jesus points to Himself in verse 28, and He says, Jesus always gives an example. He points to Himself, and He says, this is what I've done. Remember that triangle we were talking about the last time I was here? It's the pyramid of the capitalist system. And what you have is, you have capitalism on top. And then you have the kings and the rulers that say, we rule over you. Right? And then you have the clergy. And they say, we fool you. And then you have the armies underneath them. We shoot at you. And then under them, you have those that are eating. And it says, we eat for you. And under those, you have the people holding this whole pyramid up. And it says, we feed all. Right? When Jesus comes, He takes that pyramid that we look at like this, and He flips it upside down. And He says, okay, no, the ones that are greatest should be doing for all the rest. Not the ones that are not greatest. The ones that are not greatest should be ministered unto from the ones that are greatest. And so, those that want to be supervisors and be rulers and they want people under them. There's an old saying that we have at work. It took God 6 days to create the heavens and the earth, and on the seventh day he rested. It only takes $2 to create a rear end. You may give somebody a position and give them $2 more, and it changes his whole demeanor over you. Changes his whole demeanor over you. And so, did we have eternal life before Jesus offered it unto us, those that believe? No. But Jesus had eternal life, and he gave up his life for all of those that didn't have any, so that they could have it. And that's the mindset. That's the mindset we're to have. And so many could mean all in the Bible. And you can check these verses out. Romans 5:19, 2 Peter 2:1, 1 Timothy 2:1 through 6, and Hebrews 2:9. And it'll show you, and it'll back this up, that he gave his life for all, as a ransom for all. So many in the Bible could also mean all. And so, and as they departed from Jericho, a great multitude followed him. And we'll go ahead and stop there. So Jesus shows us the mindset that we're to have, the mindset those that have are to have over those that have not. And that's the way we're supposed to be. To minister unto others as Jesus Christ did. And we'll go ahead and stop there. Father in heaven, Lord, we thank you for your words and thank you for the teachings and the truths found in them. And Father, we pray that we would just apply these to our lives and trust your words and believe them. Not just say we have a King James Bible and want to lord over everyone, but just to believe your words and have the mindset that you had. And we do that as we believe them. And we pray now for the services today that you would bless them, Lord. And pray for those that are ministering to others today that you would just give them grace and give them peace and long-suffering and all those things, those fruits of the Spirit that they need to do those things. And we pray these things for Christ's sake. Amen.